for Dave and Beth Winchester a little earlier. They're away from us today because Dave was asked to do memorial service for a cousin of his today. And it may have
started 11, I don't remember, or 1 o'clock. But my brain is, it's been a few other places in this week. But I've been praying for him leading up to that. He was a little unsure because of who was going to be there. Some are believers, some are not. His cousin doesn't know really. There was no evidence of Jesus in his life. We'll put it that way. Though he had gone to vacation Bible school as a child and accepted Christ, who knows? God knows. God knows. So it's going to be not so easy for them. So in your thinking, pray for them while we're looking at the scripture. Would you please join me in Acts chapter 28? 2 weeks ago, I told you I was hoping to make some of you seasick. I hope you understand where I was coming from. That we can feel the water, that we can feel the rocking and the rolling of that ship. It's given to us in the text to understand that was a real circumstance. We followed them through to the shipwreck itself. And I read to you from 2 Corinthians chapter 11 that Paul, in his own testimony, said he's been shipwrecked 3 times. This is one of those times. On this particular occasion, 270 plus people were spared. We don't know the details of the other shipwrecks. They land on an island. This island, verse 1 of chapter 28, when they had been brought safely through on planks or swimming or whatever, however they got to land, they were all safe, they were all alive. We found out the island was called Malta. And another reading and an island name is Metaline. Doesn't really matter to me. It's an island, and I believe they were there together. And the natives, your Bible might say barbarians, which is the Greek understanding or Greek word used. Natives is a little softer. And today in our politically correct challenge, we might say the local people of the island. Whatever you're going to say, there's some people that were there. Showed us extraordinary kindness. For because of the rain that had set in and because of the cold, they kindled a fire and received us all. So 270 some people. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. What do you know about vipers? They're poisonous. Rattlesnake is a quick strike and they're poisonous. Other kinds, but this is a viper. What does a viper do? He just grabs on, hangs on. While he's hanging on, the juice is going in. It's not a good experience. What would you expect? This guy's in trouble. What did the barbarians, the natives, the local island people, what did they think? Verse 4, when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they began saying to one another, undoubtedly this man is a murderer. And though he's been saved from the sea, justice has not been allowed him to live. We'll get to that part in a couple of minutes here. Paul got bit by a snake. It latched onto him. It was a viper that is the way God designed them to transmit their poison. We might ask the question, why did God allow him to get bitten by a snake? Right? In this particular occasion, the next verses, 4 down through 10, give us the reason why, but God doesn't always give us the reason why. If we ask that question, we also should ask, why did God allow him to get in the shipwreck? Back to 2 Corinthians 11, why did God allow him to be beaten times without number? 3 times with rods, 1 time stoned to death. Why did God allow that? Well, it's the same question. Why here? Why? Well, we don't have an answer to that question. We really don't. we can kind of get a little theological and place it in the will of God. That becomes a little awkward, but you know what? Life just happens. It just happens to believers and non-believers, to good people and to bad people. Life just happens, and wherever you're going to fit it in, that is what's happening here. But what I really wanted to chat on for a minute is Mark chapter 16. Would you please turn to Mark chapter 16? Turn to the left or to your table of contents. You'll find Mark. Chapter 16. The Lord Jesus is only recorded here in Mark as saying these things. Part of it is familiar to Matthew. Verse 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Verse 16 is unique to Mark, as well as 17 and 18. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. Thus, out of that comes the theology that some people have, that you have to be also baptized or you're not saved. Believed and baptized. Well, the disclaimer to that would be the next phrase, but he who has disbelieved will be condemned. Nothing about baptism or non-baptism there, right? It's the belief. The baptism, is it follows the belief. 17, and these signs or attesting miracles will accompany those who have believed. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents. And if they drink any deadly poison, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. Out of these verses comes some understanding that God has said it will happen to every person that is a believer in Jesus. And they start pushing that home. This becomes what is being poisonous in India, as I showed you and told you several months ago. Looking for nothing but God signs. There is nothing else to their gospel and their belief system other than looking for signs from God. Now here in this text, just to walk quickly through this, these signs will accompany those who have believed. In my name, they will cast out demons. Does that mean every one of them will cast out demons? Every time the demons will respond? I got a problem because I've been involved in some situations praying about demons in somebody or in something that's going on, and it didn't work as a formula. Other occasions, I think I can attest to it. The demons went out of the person. The next phrase. They will speak with new tongues. Oh man, it's so easy to put that under the label of they will speak in tongues. That may not be what this is referring to. And if it is, then let's balance it out with other scripture. We can turn to some other passages of the scripture that talk about our language changing to God language. From lying type of language, deception type of language, but it'll be different for us at the very language level. And if it is talking about what happened in Acts chapter 2, they spoke in languages they never knew, and they were known languages. 1 Corinthians 14 is the only one that talks about a possible mystical language that nobody can understand. And if it's talking about that, will they all? Well, 1 Corinthians says they will not all speak in tongues. Chapter 12. In other words, my point here, this is not a formula. Come down to verse 18, and we have got some really spins on the Christian culture in our America. They will pick up serpents. That is an admonition to go and pick up snakes, by the way. Did you know that? And apparently they won't bite. What did we just read in Acts chapter 28? Did he pick up a serpent? No, he did not. He picked up some wood. The serpent happened to be there. What I'm saying is, and I've got some articles at home, you guys can find them on your own, but there is a weirdness. There is a spin on Christianity in a little tiny segment in our culture, in our country, from this very verse. There are those called the snake-handling churches that have to demonstrate their faith by picking up snakes. to do that and provide the opportunity for everybody. They have boxes of snakes up front.
Vipers?
Their numbers are decreasing. Guess why? Well, one of those really is because less and less people are believing that this is a formula and you got to prove your faith. Some of them do get bit and some of them do not die. Some of them do get bit and die. What happened? Oh, now I've got to come up with an explanation. Why wasn't the demon cast out? Why wasn't the illness answered in my prayer? Why did this person die when they were bitten by a snake? Or a child of God, a Christian person, drinking something that's poisonous, and they die? Wait a minute, isn't this a promise from God that everybody can always expect these things? Okay, I hope you understand the direction I'm going here, because I do not believe this is a formula. There are times I believe that the Christian people have been bit by snakes and have died. Drank poisonous things and have died. Other times, like in Paul's case here, not died. Okay, something came to my mind just a month and a half ago about my India trip. I'm going to refer back to the discussion about water. I was advised by Terry Pruitt and Rick Cook, when you go to India, do not drink the water. Bottled water only. Great, that's, I can remember that. Only brush your teeth with bottled water. Ooh, that's a little hard to remember because I've never done that before. You know what I'm saying? Oh, well, that makes sense. So it goes in my mouth. Okay, there's a couple times I was really close to sticking that toothbrush under that faucet in all the places I was in India. But you know what? Before every meal, there was a place to wash our hands in the faucet of running water from the country. Didn't even cross my mind. What utensil do they use to feed their face with when they eat? What did I tell you? How did I eat with India? What utensil did I use consistently? That hand right there that had just been cleansed in the water from the place where I'm not supposed to drink any water. Don't even brush your teeth with it. And just after the meal, you wash your hands. It didn't even cross my mind when I was there. I just washed my hands here. Oh, let's put this together. What were you guys doing while I was there doing this stuff? Ignorantly, in this case. You were praying. Did God protect me from what other people have gotten sick, some have died on? You follow what I'm saying? Is it possible that I had poison that came out of a faucet, poison to me, not to them. They lived in it. That I then put in my mouth by eating the food with my fingers on. It's possible. It's possible. Paul did not plan to pick up a snake. You don't need to go looking for a snake to prove your faith. You don't need to look for God's sightings everywhere and miracle things. Otherwise, God's not in you. But that's where the formula gets reduced to. Here's what I'm saying. In this case, in this history, I have to just accept off the page of the text, Paul got in a place where he didn't plan on that morning. This viper is hanging off his hand. This was an occasion for God to do something stupendous in front of these natives. God did something there as a miracle, not just to preserve Paul, though he did preserve Paul. It got bigger than that very quick. Now, I do not believe I need to demonstrate my faith by drinking something stupid. Watch, this won't hurt me because I'm a Christian. Well, you might be a Christian whose funeral we attend shortly thereafter. It's not set up. You see, there's other scripture that comes to my mind when we start doing that kind of thing. What about your mind? What's one of the commandments, Michael? Obey your father. That's right. Obey your father and mother. Honor. What about not testing the Lord your God? Not putting him to a test. It's in the scripture and it's consistent in the scripture. And if I'm doing that kind of thing, what am I doing? I think exactly that. Sorry, Michael. I like the obey your father and mother part too. Let's go back to Acts. No, let's not. Nope, please. Turn back to Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah 11 is about the future. Verse 10. Nope, it's before that. Let's start at verse 6. The wolf in that day will dwell with the lamb. The leopard in that day will lie down with the baby goat. The calf in that day and the young lion and the fatling will be together. The little boy will lead them. Also the cow will and the bear will graze in that day, a future that's coming. The lion will eat straw like an ox. Here it comes. The nursing child will play by the hole of a cobra. Now, I didn't chase the article, but there was a snippet of a temptation for me from looking at my news on the channel about a 9-foot cobra that somebody removed from the dashboard of a car. I assume in India, I don't know. Well, in that day, little baby's going to go and play with a hole in front of the hole where the cobra is. A weaned child will put his hand on the viper's den. They will not hurt or destroy in my holy mountain. For the earth will be full at that time of the knowledge of the Lord and as the waters cover the sea. Can I safely say we're not there yet? Paul got bit and they expected him to die because that's what people do when they get bit by that particular viper. It's clinging on and the longer it clings on there, the more poison goes into his system. Is God able to override nature? He wrote the laws. Absolutely. That's why he alone can walk on water. I haven't been able to do that yet. I don't do so well even water skiing, you know? He overwrites his own laws when it suits his purpose. When it is something that will do his kingdom work, people can see there is a God. We're not in Isaiah 11 yet. And we're not to tempt God by grabbing this stupid snake. Acts chapter 28, verse 4, when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they began to say to one another, undoubtedly this man is a murderer. Okay, last Monday, my family had the fun privilege of going to Joshua and Famous House and all their kids for a meal. Had a good evening together. Fun time. They have a swing that's 35 foot up in the air hanging from this tree limb. And I got to thinking about that swing, reading this text. Because you're on the swing and the kids are just way off on the one side. And they get pushed and of course they pendulum swing to the extreme on the opposite side. Watch the natives do that on this swing. They said, conclusion, great deduction, this man is undoubtedly a murderer. Though he's been saved from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live. That's the conclusion. What'd he do? He shook the creature off into the fire, suffered no harm. I don't even see here that Paul knelt down and prayed. Luke didn't apparently pray. Let's have a quick prayer meeting and pray for this. Everybody lay hands on Paul. I just said, this is, throw it in the fire and collect some more wood. Maybe more careful next time about the pot. If one of them's wiggling, it's probably not wood, Paul. You know? He shook the creature off into the fire. They might have prayed. I would have prayed. If I'd have been bit, I'd been praying. If you'd have been bit, I'd been praying for you. And it's very natural, but it just doesn't say that. Shook it off in the fire and kept about his business. And now this would be a fun setup to do in a drama, in a movie or something. Here's all the natives, all the locals. They know what to expect. And they're off on one side, and I see them wide-eyed, just watching this guy, shook it into the fire and looking, watching, expecting, verse 6, they were expecting that he was about to swell up. That's what happens. Or suddenly fall down dead. Apparently, that's what happens. But after they had waited a long time, you just see them in the bleachers on the side, you know, and had seen nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their mind and the swing went to the opposite side. They concluded then that, oh, he's a god. Well, okay. Given their understanding and their worldview, what they had to go by, I can see the conclusion. Sure. Animists believing that God is in everything or a thing is a god, whatever. Over here he's a murderer, but now he's a god. What does God do? He uses this and the next circumstance. It's not in the text, except it's from the beginning of Paul's ministry on. We can assume in the text very easily that he spoke truth about the true God to these people. This gave him then an open door that they might not have understood before. I mean, here's the next greatest message. Great, so what? Man, the guy didn't die. He's a god. No. Not a god. There is a god. Let me tell you about that god. I just see that unfolding here. Verse 7. Now in the neighborhood of that place were lands belonging to the leading man of the island named Publius, who welcomed us and entertained us courteously for 3 days. It came about that the father of Publius was lying in bed, afflicted with recurrent fever and dysentery. He brushed his teeth with the water, I guess. And Paul went in to see him after he had prayed. He laid hands on him and healed him. Did he pray first and then lay hands on him? It seems to say that. Other places he lays hands and prays. There's not a formula. He was looking to God. He was praying, put his hands on the man, and the guy recovered. He was healed. Hallelujah. Please turn to 2 Timothy, chapter 4. Second Timothy chapter 4. Verse 19, he's at the end of the letter. Greet Priscilla and Aquila. Greet the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus, by the way, he says, stayed in Corinth. Watch this. Trophimus, I left sick at Miletus. Do you have a problem with that? If Paul is relying on the promise of God that every sick person he ever prays for is going to recover, and it happened in Acts 28, what happened to this poor guy? We have to come up with an answer. So here's the answer. You ready for it? The guy really didn't have the gift of healing. The guy praying didn't have enough faith. Or the one prayed for didn't have enough faith. Voila, there you have it. Now we're back to our formula. Works every time. No, it doesn't work every time. And yes, Christians do have car accidents. Yes, Christians do get bit by vipers. And we can go on and on and on. We suffer harm in this life just like everybody else. We get pushed out of line by some inconsiderate person, just like the non-believer. And we might say, praise the Lord, I got a parking spot right in front of Walmart. Great. Next time it was the non-believer that also got the parking spot right in front of Walmart. Life happens to us, good and bad. Not a formula. But we can look to God who is greater than all. We can trust him. And like we looked in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verses 5 and 6 particularly, he is my helper. He is the one that carries me through it. And I can confidently say, what can man do to me? Thank you, God. He is my God. His will in my life might include some pretty tough things. You guys have had some pretty tough things. All around this room, some pretty tough things. We're not immune to it. Let's settle in and say, not try to make it theological about our spirituality. God is God. I'm His child. Let's leave it at that and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Acts 28 again, please. He prayed for Publius and he was healed. Verse 9, after this happened, the rest of the people on the island who had diseases were also coming to him and getting cured. Cool. That's way cool. You know, that happened in Mark chapter 1. And then Jesus was tired, it was nighttime, went to sleep with his disciples. In the morning, they found him praying somewhere. The crowds came again, everybody from the distant villages, to get healed. And when the disciples said to Jesus, they're waiting for you. You know what Jesus said? Mark chapter 1, in the early 30s of the verses, he said, then let us go to another place that I might preach there also. He did not heal everyone that came in. That was not his purpose, just to make everybody well. He was making them well so they would hear the message. Over and over again, that is consistent. Now, went to the next village. Did miracles? Yeah. Got people's attention. See, I believe that is exactly what happened here. So let me ask this. If everybody on the island is now healed and Paul goes away, what happens if somebody gets sick? Are they permanently healed and they'll never get sick again? I don't think so. I read nothing about that in the scripture. Huh. What about the next guy with ongoing dysentery? The purpose for this event was that they might know from their darkness truth, the light of Jesus. The message, I believe, came loud and clear, and this gave the open door. From here, they got on the ship and continued on the course. You think Paul ever asked, Lord, why another shipwreck? Damn it. Really, Lord, they're going to beat me again? Why this hanging off my hand? I'm thinking Paul was human, and he might have asked those questions. But he also gave us truth about that, and that truth is what I want us to understand today. I do. That God is God. God is in charge, and this catastrophe in my life is not beyond Him, not beyond His knowledge, and He is not wringing His hands about it. Oh, no, what am I going to do now? God is still my Father, and He will carry me through into His very presence. I can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. What can man do to me? Okay. Interaction. Comments or questions?
I am curious to know, in verse 20, or chapter 28, verse 1, it does mention this island. You've given it two different names. The King James refers to it as Melita, M-E-L-I-T-A. Mm-hmm. The use of the term in verse 20 of chapter 4 in 2 Timothy says, Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletium. Sick, which is a completely different spelling. Is there something that can back this up as being the same location?
I don't know.
I can't answer your question at this point in time. If I think about it, I'll look up in my tools and see if there is. Thank you.
The focus of this particular passage, 28 through 10, seems to be the natives, the barbarians, those who have not heard of God, or pagans, say, someone would say. I can't help but wonder about the other group of people that are not mentioned there at all.
Oh, yeah.
The seamen and the captain, the soldiers and the centurion that are going with him.
And other prisoners.
And the other prisoners, right. So they're all seeing this. It's not done in a corner, as Paul tells Festus. They're seeing this too, and I can't help but imagine that some of these hardened Roman soldiers came to faith in Christ, and maybe when he is in Rome, guarded, these soldiers might not have volunteered to be near him simply because of that. Now, that's wild speculation.
It
I
is.
Did that. Nothing sanctified about it at all. But, you know, these are people there who are witnessing this too. Plus, they'd already seen him say, we shouldn't be sailing here. We shouldn't be going here. And he's also the one that stood up and said, my God has delivered all of these into my hands. So there's that witness there too.
Yep. And there's not a word about that telling us what happened. You know, what was the result of that witness? But you know they were there. And those guys, just wired like us, experienced that real life stuff. Yeah. I have heard of some wonderful, some amazing miracles done in, let's just say, third world countries. My friend Sibby was talking with his wife about some of the problems in India. But she was saying, but I've witnessed actual healings. And I said, amen. And she described one of those to me. And it's a wonderful testimony. This is a sister I trust fully. She's not trying to, you know, make things glorified beyond what they really were. Why don't they always happen? Why do we hear stories here in America and so often it's somebody out there somewhere that we can never even trace down? We can't get to them to hear what happened to them. Is this real? You know? And I can't help but wonder if God has worked in these ways of getting people's attention in a certain place so that they would hear the message. And as far as the demon activity, has there been a lot of demon activity in America, or has it been kind of cut down because the church has been pretty strong in America over the years? And it's kind of held it at bay more so than Brazil where I've been, India where I've been, etc., where there's some weird stuff. I don't have an answer to those questions, but I ask those questions. And out there in the middle of nowhere, I mean, to the young people, when we read that story about that lady that went to China all last fall in our youth group, she came into a leper colony, and the leader of the ministry people said to her, start praying. Well, okay, but she was kind of bewildered a little bit, just started praising God or something. And all of a sudden, a lady in the back of one of the lepers in there started saying, wow, wow. And it might have even been a praise God. This girl praying did not pray for that woman. And that woman had been deaf for years and now is hearing. Let's go behind the scenes a little bit. The leader had been witnessing to three nurses or four nurses who didn't want to hear a word about Jesus. Did not. Would not. This happened. They went up and they started snapping their finger by her ear. They started doing the test. Then he said, tell us about this Jesus. What do you pray for in a leper colony? For the lepers to get healed. This woman wasn't healed of leprosy. She received her hearing. And it shocked these women. They heard the gospel. They became believers, sisters in Christ. God knows what he's doing. It was set up. But it was also just life. Watch what God can do with this. And I say that to you. Watch what God is going to do with what you're in. That's God. Yes?
I just have a question. In regards to Paul being on the island and being with the natives, what would be the language they would speak? And do you think that in and of itself would be a miraculous thing that they were able to communicate? Because how far was the island from the mainland?
Just a few days away.
Right.
In the next couple of verses. It is possible to conclude, and really the only
circumstantial evidence I can toss in there, is that Koine Greek had been the world trade language for 300 years at this point. And it was going to be for another 300 years. Koine Greek was the street language that people would use, kind of like English is in so many places today. And other than that, we're not really told. Could have been translators, But that's kind of what my thinking is. So, Evan?
Kind of the same speculation. I've always wondered if that story of the snake was told to them later, if they didn't know what was going on, if the snake bit Paul, but Paul didn't know what was going on. He was like, oh, it's a snake, it bit me, oh, I might get something. But, I mean, he might not have even,
occurred to him.
Or the other people. But the natives are like, oh, because it only says the natives said this. It doesn't say everybody went, oh no! Or, oh, this guy's dead. It was the natives who said that.
Okay. Yes, Michael.
About that, these signs will accompany believers. And as you aptly put, mentioned that obviously we don't all speak in tongues. Not everybody always got healed. I just wanted to point out, it seems that he's saying, like, if you see a crowd of believers, these are the types of things you can expect to see. And so it does seem to place them as somewhat of a somewhat common occurrence. And we see that in the New Testament in a lot of places. Those things were common occurrence. Maybe not the snake thing. Although Paul doesn't seem to be very worried when he gets bit. So he did not expect to die from that. At least it appears that way. And that guy that he left sick in Miletus, we don't know any of the circumstances. It doesn't really talk about it. For all we know, he prayed 3 times to God that he would be healed of it, and the Lord said, you need a rest, stay in bed. We don't know. We just don't know very much about that.
I will say to you too, I believe that God is fully able today to do any one of those things for any children of God. I have no problem with that whatsoever. But to force God to do it, based on those verses, you better not go there. He's not going to bow.
Several years ago, Tammy and I bought a painting by a famous artist back on the East Coast, and it was signed by him. And what we received with that was a certificate of authenticity. God in His Word sends signs and wonders and miracles to authenticate His message. Listen to this. This is true. And He shows those signs and wonders so that we will see that and realize you're dealing with someone that's not like us at all. Someone that's so far above us that we need to give heed to what He says to us.
Amen. Sure.
I had counted that one a minute, though. At one point in the Bible, it also says that they came before the Lord and said, Lord, Lord, we cast out demons and we healed. And He says, be gone, I know you not.
Matthew chapter 7.
You have to see more of the life to be able to really... In this case, I mean, they haven't lived with Paul forever, you know. But it's so easy to counter it and pretend it and have other... hate saying and powers be involved. So we have to test it.
Yeah, in the end times, the Antichrist will be doing false signs and wonders to trick the people into following him, because that will attest that he is real. Exactly that. Authenticate he's the one. But you're right, sister. Jesus taught that in Matthew chapter 7. And depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Is the word to heaven knew them.
We're always looking, it seems like, for proofs too. We want something, those absolutes, just basically kind of hard to really get your hands on.
Yeah.
So,
when I was in.
You kind of reprimand that generation a little bit, doesn't
he? Sure does. When I was in the Eastern religions before Jesus came into my life, we saw some miraculous things that had nothing to do with the living God. We saw with our own hands, we participated in some supernatural things. It was not God. It was not God. So just because it's supernatural, don't say, oh, it's God. It's no different than the pendulum swing that these natives made. He is a God. Amen. This last song, just closure, a prayer that we wouldn't miss being able to see the Lord, worship the Lord, things around that can come in and distract us, get our attention going a different direction. Kind of based out of Psalm 139, but other additional prayer added into there.